It's rolling. Tis rolling. I shouldn't have pushed the button so soon because your mouth is still full. I got you covered.
That's okay.
No, it's not full. That was a magic trick. That was pretty impressive.
I talked around it. Still doing it.
So we are back at the world famous improv. I like it here. I'm cozy here.
Seems a little hot.
I'm cozy. I like it here. Stop fucking with the levels.
It's our new podcast studio.
Now you're quiet. Come
look
on.
At that thing.
Oh, stop it. Right off the bat, we're going to be about it before. It's
that coffee thing?
Oh, that's a new thing. I thought that was that thing. Now I'm doing it. That they're like old antique milk canisters.
Yeah, disgusting, right?
This is the After Disaster. I'm Anderson. There is Mike Carano directly across from me. And there's a superfluous Tyler, who is also invisible and not here yet. He will be here momentarily. I guess he was not going to come at all because we're doing the show here at this time for him, right down the street from his work.
Correct.
So that he can just swing by. But he sent us last minute text saying, I don't know if I can come now. So I was thinking, cool, good show. We'll have a good show.
Nice and tight.
Nice and tight. Nice
two and tight. Two person tight. Convo.
But he's about to roll in. So let's, what do you want to discuss a little?
Absolutely.
ICP.
Yeah.
ICP.
Yeah. What's your
Insane Clown Posse?
What are your thoughts?
I had a very good time.
I had a good time too.
Yes. There will be a video coming. I'm working on it as we speak.
Right as we speak, I'm transferring stuff from a hard drive to another hard drive so I can bring you that hard drive.
Okay, and then you and I are going to get together this Friday. And
hopefully. Yeah.
What? I have it scheduled. It's on the schedule.
What time?
I don't know. If you can do late afternoon, great. Let's do it. Here's the thing. We need to add one last thing for the sake of the video, and Mike and I have to get together. Maybe Tyler, but I know that he's never available. Mike and I have to do some sweet soda tricks in a park.
Yeah. We're going to practice.
And we're going to slingshot some shit, and it's going to be good times.
I wish we would have thought of this last week, and people could have donated the soda.
They cost 80 cents a bottle.
Yeah, we'll probably go through...
I'm thinking I'm going to buy 20. Bottles. I'm going to buy 20. So the most impressive thing, Mike and I agree, the most impressive thing about the Insane Clown Posse show, speaking of tight hours, that show was a tight hour.
I'm glad they didn't do a Bruce Springsteen.
I was preparing for like another 2 hours, and then I realized that they were finishing. I'm like, this is fantastic. We can actually leave on time.
The only bummer of the night for me was the fact that they didn't play any songs that I knew.
Well, I don't know any songs except for Miracles because I'm not a real fan. So here's the most impressive part of the show, Mike and I agree, is the amount of Fago that they were spraying on the audience the entire show. We were warned when David went to the show down in Florida a couple weeks ago. He called us up and he let us know. Pretty much everything he described, we saw.
Absolutely.
Except for the end where he said the lights were on and there was just 70 people on stage. That
I have some video of that. The lights were on and there were at least 20 people on stage.
But it wasn't. David made it sound like the show had been over for like 45 minutes and people were just hanging around. That might have been a venue thing.
Yeah, that might have been your interpretation.
We went to the San Diego, House of Blues, where I think they probably have strict regulations and whatnot.
Yeah.
But you'll see. I don't want to burn too much of it. I learned about halfway through the first song that they were doing, the flaw in our plan, which was a pretty big flaw.
No, I think we learned that flaw walking to the venue when we got the whoop from a guy that looked like he just got let out of prison.
Yeah, I don't know if we talk about that on the video. I think we might. But our first encounter, we're probably about a block and a half away.
Mm-hmm. And walking through downtown San Diego in full clown makeup.
And this dude, my hair was fire engine red. Yours was swerve blue.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude walks by us with a semi-hot, hard girlfriend. And he takes a look at us. He looks like a drug dealer. He just looks like a scumbag. He looks like somebody who's just let out of prison.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's up? And then right after he passes us, he goes, whoop, whoop. And Mike and I just keep walking. We're just like happy that, the eye contact was over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he says, I said, whoop, whoop. And we're like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And we did it back half-heartedly.
Mike goes, whoop. I'm like, whoop. And he goes, thank you. And we're like, oh, yeah, no.
That was the beginning of the... Okay. The more I think about it, the more I thought about the interactions we had with people, I do think people looked at us and went, not fans, and they were testing it. Like, what about that guy that bear hugged me and just held me and stared into my eyes? just stared at me, like to see, I don't know if he was trying to get a bead on whether, I didn't know if that was a ritualistic ICP thing, and I didn't respond properly.
Mike and I were just taken aback by the show. We were just enjoying the spectacle when it first opened. And Jay comes out, and then like he does his little thing, and then he introduces Shaggy, who comes out probably 2 minutes after he comes out. Yep. And then the Faygo comes out, and we were just watching and enjoying ourselves. And then the fans started getting rambunctious around us because we were on the precipice of the pit. We were just outside the pit.
More than a few getting in your face going, what song is this?
They were putting their arms around us and like getting in our face and singing the lyrics verbatim because they're big fans. And we had no idea what the lyrics were, but we're sitting there like fucking idiots with the face makeup on. Yep. So we were kind of caught right off the bat. Like, oh shit, I didn't even think about that. But people were going to be looking to us because we were, I'd say about 8% of the audience had face makeup. About one out of every 10, 11.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we were.
Would you have preferred that we
branded as the biggest fans there?
Aside from the video, top 10% video aspect, would you have preferred that we didn't go in makeup?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we drew unwarranted, unwanted, uncoveted attention to ourselves. And it happened throughout the night. Guys would come up and they'd put their arm around us and start singing and like rocking back and forth. They're fucking hammered too.
Oh, yeah.
Mike came up with a good plan halfway through the show. He's like, you know what we do? We just pretend like we're too wasted to sing along.
It works. Just eyes half cocked. Just staring as if you're on hallucinogens or something.
So Mike and I both agree. I feel like we talked about all this in the wrap-up video in the car on the way back, so I don't want to burn
too
much. We did,
but here's a couple of observations from my point of view. Is I heard about the Faygo. I didn't know up until the listener called in with the rundown that they throw it on the audience. I thought it was just their preferred. It just happened to be they like Faygo, and the listener or their fans started buying Faygo. I didn't know it was a squirt the Faygo on the audience.
I had heard
thing.
That, you know, they squirt some bottles.
Oh, I had no idea.
I didn't know that they did it to that extent.
Like, no. And that first showering of Faygo was awe inspiring. Mm-hmm. Like, because there was no Faygo the first song or two songs.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, the lights come up. And there's probably 8 people on stage squirting it. And it was
they had these little creature dudes.
It was a rain of soda coming down, and it just kept coming. Like, they all know how to manipulate the bottles to get the most.
They're so talented at it, and I'm really excited to test
You know what
reminds
me of?
It's like the first time, I don't know if you remember being a little kid and watching someone bowl, and you weren't bowling, but you saw it, and you had the idea that you'd see it on TV. You're like, I really want to try that.
Yeah,
I bet I could totally get
I wanted
get
to
strikes.
Try mowing the lawn when I saw a lawnmower.
I feel like the same. I have that same kind of enthusiasm for squirting soda out of 2-liter bottles right now, and we're going to get to test it on Friday.
It was fascinating watching their techniques. They've probably opened tens of thousands of bottles.
Tens of thousands. Mike and I were obsessed with it. We were doing the math on the way home.
And you're totally right. I watched some of the video back, and Violent J does it with the song, and then when there's a break, he holds the bottle so nothing comes out, and then when it comes back on, more starts coming out, and he knows how much is in the bottle because they don't wing full. They got to a point where they were taking cases and just throwing them into the audience.
They were just tossing full cases towards the end.
Yeah.
I got hit in the face with a probably 2/3 full bottle, and I'm lucky that I got away unscathed. It kind of glanced off my sweaty, wet, bagel-ridden face.
Yeah, we had the protection of clown makeup, a super inexpensive clown makeup.
But it's one of those things where you really got to pay attention. You could easily be injured. You could they have this technique, which I'm definitely going to try out this Friday. We're going to get it on video. Yeah. But you put your finger and you plug it. You make it airtight. Yeah. You shake it up hard. Then you let it go, and it rockets off your finger. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
It looks so cool, Mike.
I'm into it.
How have they not incorporated Mentos into their act? You'd think that would really give it
into their act. I just kept thinking about what happens when those roadies are bored. Do they start peeing in the bottles or, you know, do they loosen the tops first? I don't think they do.
I don't think they do either. So they had these little creature dudes. They were essentially roadies who we saw them all on the stage at the very end because they took their masks off. And I'm like, oh, those are the guys. But they look creepy, especially from a little bit far away. Like, they looked like ghouls.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They didn't so much look like clowns, but they looked like monsters.
And they'd come out and at one point, like, they were holding human heads. Mm-hmm. It was I guess the whole perception is like they're insane clowns. It's right there in their name.
And that's their posse.
And that's their posse. Yeah, that's their posse. And they like to kill people. They're like maniacal and maybe serial killers.
Were you surprised by the fact that there were attractive
hot chicks,
girls
yes.
there?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I think we talked about that in the video. So I maybe we just let it go and let this video speak for itself. I'm thinking that we might be able to you know, maybe launch the video or show some clips at a live show here at the Improv at some point. Yeah,
we should go upstairs and talk about that.
All right, we'll try and do that. So, what else you got? What's going on? What's happening? What's the haps? I found out my kid, the gender.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I feel like I should have led with that because that's probably more important than Insane Clown Posse.
Let's go.
Well, if you had to guess, what do you think, boy or girl, for old Anderson over here?
Well, I'd be hoping for a boy.
Mm-hmm. Why?
But I have a weird feeling you're going to have a little girl.
So we had an ultrasound like probably 6-8 weeks ago now, right?
By the way, that was the most cheesy, vague answer you could have possibly had.
No, yeah, it was actually because you had like a bad feeling.
Well, you already have skateboards, so you got, you know, incur less costs.
6-8 weeks ago, we had an ultrasound, and the lady, I'm still upset with her. She said, look, it's too early to be official, but I've been doing this a long time, and if I had to guess, I'd tell you guys are having a boy.
Yeah.
And so from that point forward, Jillian's just like, oh, we're having a boy. And
what if she doesn't want to spoil it, and she just slips in things like, I can't tell you it's too early, but he looks healthy.
He looks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? The woman that did the ultrasound yesterday, she said that she had screwed up a few times, because there are a lot of parents that don't want to know. So I guess they're just looking away when they're doing the ultrasound. It's so weird. It's so odd.
They don't hear anything. They walk outside and it's a boy is painted on their windshield.
She said she's fucked up a few times and she's gotten into the habit of saying, you know, the baby looks good. The baby looks healthy. I see the legs on the baby.
Spoiler alert.
Because people do that thing like Brian and his wife. They went to like a frozen yogurt place and they put the little like sealed envelope to the, like 15-year-old frozen yogurt dude behind the counter and said, hey, open this. If it's a boy, put like blue in the middle and then put like white over it, or if it's a girl, put pink. And then they went and they sat in the corner while the 15-year-old boy like watched them with excitement. Like that would make me so uncomfortable.
He doesn't put either.
He just puts nuts.
Hermaphrodite.
I don't know if I was supposed to be talking about, sorry Brian, if I wasn't supposed to talk about that.
He writes stillborn in the sprinkles.
That's really dark. That's very dark.
Yeah. I that's so cheesy. That's her idea.
Here's the worst part. Jillian's sister, they went to a bakery and they had the baker put blue dye or pink dye and then cover it with white frosting so they didn't know. And then they went and picked up the cake and they had like a little party. I wasn't at this party. I wasn't even invited, thank God. But they had a little party with family and whatnot. And then they had a big moment where they cut into the cake to see what color it was. And I was telling that story to Brian.
It'll be funny. Black.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah. Someone else is the dad.
If I was a baker, I would absolutely do that. I don't care if they're never a customer again.
I don't understand the phony delay.
So I guess it makes it more of a moment, but it's a moment when you're sitting there in the dark room with the ultrasound lady and you're actually looking at your kid.
It's a moment that you have no control over, and it's a moment that means nothing.
I kind of get it, but I don't.
I know, but it's a moment that you have to live with this thing now for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you're going to always remember the time I found out the gender.
But it's just to make another excuse to have a gathering and get some pictures and remember that picture.
I think the excitement would be at its pinnacle when the baby comes out and the doctor goes, it's a boy.
Eddie Ift was telling me that like he and his girlfriend's wife,
I think it's girlfriend,
she said, we'll find. When you're a guy and you're in this situation, guys who have been in the situation, you guys get it. Since Jillian's doing all the work, she's pregnant. Anything she wants, whatever, however she wants the nursery, I'm game. I'll make whatever.
But that's also because you're a guy.
If
you guys had tons of money and you were going to go buy your dream house, you would probably buy the house she wanted.
I know I pick my battles, but as far as the baby goes, like, you know, I'm not even battling at all. It's like whatever she wants. And Eddie Ift's wife,
you don't want to have some good stories to tell that kid when he gets older about the battles you had.
Oh, we have battles, but just not. But about, I mean,
when your son or daughter comes to you with some issues, like when they're 15 or 16, you can go, you know why this is happening? Because when you were a kid, your mom wanted this, and I fought.
Oh, that's
for this.
That's how I grew up.
Yeah,
my parents were, all they did was talk shit about each other to me. All right, yeah. So Eddie,
that's pretty disruptive.
Oh, it's awful. Actually, I have a story about that in my phone that I want to talk about later. Something that my dad used to do to me all the time that I don't think I've ever brought up, and it's fucking priceless.
Does it involve his fingers?
No. So Eddie Ift's wife wanted to find out the kid when they had it. So
yeah, I like
they
that
were
idea.
Both in the dark.
Like
and then it was
my brother
cool.
and his wife did the same thing.
I guess the nurse says, the baby comes out and the nurse says, Dad, do you want to call it? And then he gets to actually look and see the gender and be the first one to say it to his wife. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Eddie told me that he froze up and he's like, it was so funny that I froze up in that moment. Like, I'm a comedian. I'm on stage in front of people all the time. Yeah. But the nurse was like, Dad, do you want to call it? She had to say it twice. But the point, I go back, I was talking about the gayness that is, you know, the cake story with Jillian's sister to Brian and his wife.
And then they told you the yogurt story?
That is really dumb. We did the frozen yogurt. I'm like, oh, no.
Well, you know what? As human beings on the planet interacting with other human beings, we don't have to kowtow to their cheesiness and not make fun of their you know, what they're doing.
Tyler, how did you find out the sex of your child?
We asked them to tell us.
Did you like see the vajay or the peen on the old ultrasound?
Did you
there,
see
or
the vajay?
Well, yeah, I didn't see the vajay because there was a peen, but initially didn't see it because the person was like, I don't know, I think it's bullying, but I'm not sure. And then the next week we went to see our like East African doctor who was like, it's definitely a boy. Uh-huh. And then we could see the peen.
Oh, you saw the peen. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. There's some very
did you have any concerns having an East African doctor?
No.
Why? Would he have concerns?
We will take a baby cub and tie a rope to its tail and he will pull your baby out.
I feel like the levels are all off and now I think they're good. I think they're good now.
As soon
now.
As I took off my headphones, the levels got...
The levels are great now.
Okay.
Mm. Okay. Very compromising positions that those poor pictures of the poor child.
Right? Yeah,
there's like some. They look like toilet cams.
Oh,
like it's like
upskirts
underneath. Yeah, upskirts. Like the legs are like this, and you can see like the bum and everything going on. It's like what? So I was just getting to the story, Ty.
Is your child English?
The bum.
Yeah,
the bum. It's a nice term for the tush.
It
right?
is. It's nice.
Tush is a nice term for the tush.
See that ass. I'm a smash.
We still got to come up with a better word for vagina.
It's that Bin Laden song, Pop Star. So good.
I know, I need to see it.
Seated ass. I'm a smash. I saw it and it's fantastic.
Good.
It is so good, Ty.
I can't wait.
It's like, I love Hot Rod and it's like five times the funny a Hot Rod is.
Five times the Hot Rod.
Oh, it's so good. If you're an Andy Samberg or a Lonely Island fan, look forward to this one. So about 6 weeks ago, as you know, Jillian and I went for an ultrasound, and the lady said, you know, it's too early to tell. But yeah. I kind of like the same thing. So yesterday we got official word. We went for the actual ultrasound.
Have you revealed?
I haven't.
Mike know? Does anyone know?
We've been talking all the way around. Oh. It, like
my guess was, I have a feeling it's a girl, but I would prefer it to be a boy.
I feel like maybe if it's up to the universe is going to give you a girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, why was the universe going to have a say?
Because this is payback for all those sweet three ways.
So really, you know, having a girl is going to be sweet because then I get like young friends in the house, like when she turns like 17, 18 years
said,
old. How
said,
else am I going to have young girls around?
I'll tell you what, I'll tell
your
you the thing about
son could have young girlfriends.
Oh, that's a good point, especially if he's crushing it.
The thing about you should see the chicks my 8-year-old's bringing over. The good thing about the girl is it takes a little bit of the weight off of your shoulders because she's going to want to do female things that are more Jillian related.
Mm. Yes, because
you're not going to be going to these boring ass football games.
But there's going to be boring ass recitals, which are worse.
Oh god,
I've done both.
Shit.
Here's my and this is going to sound wrong, and I told this to Jillian, and Jillian immediately said,
"This is a nightmare." This whole thing.
Don't say that in public, and I said, "Too late." I've already talked about it. I talk about it at camp all the time. But my favorite sex. Oh, that sounds wrong. Just right there. But as far as little boys or girls, I loved a little girl. Ah, see, it sounds wrong. But like at camp, like the little girl cabins are so much fun. They're sweet. They're nice. They're fun to talk to. You can actually have conversations. The little boys.
Little wrists. They can't fight you off.
The little boys are just, Tyler, you're so dark. The little boys are just all into farting and gross stuff. And like they're rambunctious. They're bouncing off the walls. I love the little girls cabin because they're just sweet and fun and nice. And they're innocent. And they're like, they're not mean spirited yet.
I think
but then when girls become like 12, 13, they become monsters. And the boys are actually really cool at 12, 13. This is all going off experience a lot of experience I've had with kids at camp. So I would love a little girl to turn into a little boy, is what I'm saying.
The difference between
so
my nephew...
Trans.
I want a tranny.
My nephew and my niece...
Oh, not tranny. That's wrong. Trans.
...is dramatic. And I can't make a decision. And I think my problem is... My problem is that I'm hung up on girls' sexuality.
Jesus,
where... No, I don't want to...
Everyone just forgot everything I just said.
Like, I understand on paper...
Glad I got here in time.
I understand on paper that everyone is sexual and everyone's got sexual feelings. And I'm
super
content.
Sexual on paper.
There's asexual
people.
You know
what I mean? But it upsets me to think of my daughter having sex because I think from a man's perspective...
Some three-hole college rule?
I think from a guy's perspective, a lot of times you look at women as a piece of meat.
On paper, I get you. Yeah. What?
like as a young man, you look at a woman, you yeah, don't Mike look at I her actually, as a, you don't, it, not
Mike
all.
Mike and I were very philosophical on our way down to see ICP. When, you know what? We were by far,
You look at the smartest, you're young, we were the most philosophical.
I bet we had by far the most philosophical conversations on the way to the ICP show as when if you were to hear all the conversations.
Yeah, we had plenty of time because it took 4.5 hours to get down there.
We talked a lot about how women don't understand the power of the horny male. They really just can never
get it. It's not as simple as when you just say that, everyone goes, of course, idiots, that's the most obvious. But we got into it.
Yeah.
Like we found that there's like a vortex of self-esteem and desire to be...
We were,
like
Mike found this horrible
that
story.
That clouds the power that you have with your sexuality.
About a girl who was having trains run on her in a bathroom at high school or something, and guys were posting it and like just waiting outside. Like
the girl
online.
Was a former sex slave.
Yeah, yeah.
Human trafficking victim.
We were trying to wrap our minds around what would make her want to do. Why? This is dark. Let's get back to baby sex. So yesterday we got the official.
I can hardly wait till you tell your child about. I mean, we discussed you on the podcast right after talking about a girl running a train.
She's a conductor. It's cool. A female conductor.
She's having a train run on her.
Oh,
kind of like in the Brothers Grimsby. No one saw that, but there was an elephant train that was very funny. Very, very funny. They were hiding inside of an elephant's, I guess, placenta inside her vagina. And then all of a sudden, a giant elephant penis came and started like bashing them in the head. It was pretty good. And then it finally, it's finished, and like the elephant completes. And Brothers Grimsby, it actually completes. It's really filthy and awful. They're both in there.
Sounds terrible.
Sacha Baron Cohen and Mark Strong, is that his name?
Yeah.
They're both inside the womb getting completed on by this elephant. They're like, thank God that's over. And Sacha Baron, he looks out the vagina hole, and there's just stock footage of a giant line of elephants just waiting their turn. It was very funny. It was very, very, very funny. I'm having a boy.
Officially?
We saw the peen.
Yay!
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Hell yeah, saw some baby dick.
Nice. Name? Come up with
that
a name?
Was an awful
and
high
we
five.
Do we do have much better. We do have a name. And it's polarizing. It's
you
a polarizing name.
You want to save it for
Goebbels.
Goebbels.
Adolf.
First name doctor. Goebbels.
Charles.
Polarizing. Charles some people are going to love it.
That one.
Donald.
Donald.
That's my dad's name. I don't take taking major offense. My father's name. No, Zach. Zachary. Going with Zachary.
With a K, though. So it's different.
All right, you guys ready?
Is it official? Like, this is the name.
This is the name. Unless
when you say it's polarizing between all of us or polarizing between you and your wife?
People we've told, I think Tyler actually heard it. People we've told, they either go, oh my God, it's a really great name. Or they go, interesting.
Okay.
You know, we can tell. People don't like it. My mom was one of those, interesting.
What's the first letter?
A.
Abel.
Abel's not bad.
Abel.
Did I just change?
Here's the only reason. Here's the only way we're going to change the name
Aristotle
from Atticus.
Oh, yes, I didn't.
Oh,
hear this.
Really?
Is if somebody commits some heinous, horrific act in the public eye? Yeah, and then it'd be
three,
October.
3 months.
October.
So how do I not take this call?
What is it?
Like it's a phone call. How do I get it? Send it to voicemail.
Just hit the side button. Any side button, it'll silence it. How are you new to the iPhone?
Welcome
world?
To using iPhones with Mike Carano.
So the kid's name's gonna be Atticus, and we were going back and
forth on names. Atticus.
Yeah,
Atticus Finch.
And that's what it's gonna get a lot. And unfortunately, it turns out Atticus in the original draft of the book that came out years ago. Did you hear the original draft was unearthed recently? And it turns out the original draft had Atticus Finch as a horrible racist.
Yes.
So that kind of caused some damage to the name. But right now it's only 803 on the baby popularity list name. So even though my mom sent me an article saying that it was the third most popular name, so I don't know. Yeah. Like my mom, I don't think
Atticus could ever be the third most popular name.
You never know. Because like Jackson, like you said, we love Jackson. We wanted to call our kid
Jackson. Yeah, Jackson's cool. Jay Moore named his son Jackson.
Kids 5 years ago, but it's the number one name now.
Jay Moore named his son Jackson Jones.
What's the middle name?
That's pretty good. We're going with Jillian's mom's.
That's a long middle name.
Hibbert, which is Jillian's maiden name. So.
Atticus Hibbert Cowan.
That's weirder than like Atticus.
Atticus Hibbert Cowan. Not bad.
I like it.
So
it sounds like
people call him At.
Addy, maybe. So we're going back and forth on names, and we hated each other's names. Like, yeah. And then she
threw us a couple of
bones. That was me and Lauren's problem.
She threw out Atticus, and I'm just like, hey, It was the first time. So.
Did you guys Did you guys use the name app?
What was the name of the character in Clockwork Orange?
Alex. I can't do Alex. Yeah, I know too many Alexes I hate.
Yeah, yeah.
Way too many, you know?
And yeah, Alex has a propensity to poop in fish tanks.
That we both know doesn't listen.
Yeah, my buddy Alex Poopich actually pooped in the fish tank. It's true. Alex just had a baby. My buddy Alex Poopich, who pooped in the fish tank.
The pilot?
I shouldn't have said his full name. Yeah. But his kid's name, he just had a couple weeks ago, Rocco.
That's not too shabby. That's sweet. I kind of like, and not for nostalgia's sake, not to be trendy, but I kind of like the old-fashioned dude's names like Chet.
Chester?
Oh, no. There was this...
Chester, not bad.
I found a site recently where you put in your name and what year you're born, and then so like Tyler in 1986 was the like 80th most popular name for boys.
Not bad.
And then it goes through all the decades telling you the 80th most popular name of that decade, so what your name would have been all the way up until like the 1890s.
Provided your parents were that mathematical.
No. I think we looked at a very similar thing. We're checking like different
I would have
years.
Been like Ridley back in like the 1920s.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I like that.
Lauren would have been like Millicent.
However, Evgeny Malkin, Gino, Pittsburgh Penguin fame. He just had a kid 2 days ago, and I got to tell you, I love that kid's name. It's a boy, and they named it Nikita. And I got to tell you, that's a good name.
Not bad.
So I might kind of lobby for that one a little bit, but I'm very happy with that.
What's Gillette's kid? Super crime-fighting moxie?
Who's Gillette? What?
Penn Gillette.
I hate him.
But his kid is like a crime-fighter, super moxie, something like that.
What? That sounds terrible. Super moxie?
It's like super crime-fighter moxie.
That's a shitty... That's awful.
That's a really, really bad.
Why would you do that to your
child? He's a terrible person. Penn Jillette's a fucking blowhard pain in the ass. He's super smart.
He's a blowhard, but I don't think he's a terrible
got a lot of
great, person.
Yeah, have you ever had to deal with him?
No. Not in a way you have.
Yes. I don't like him. Remember? You were there. You saw that. Poked his head in and he saw there was a dog.
I'm
allergic to dogs. I'll be standing out here. He just put out.
He just stood in the hallway like a weirdo.
Like a fucking dick, and his pants were like up high, like he was expecting a flood. Fuck that guy. You know the best thing about Penn Jillette? He's a big man. They die early.
Wow, that's dark.
I went really hard. Jesus. I went real hard on Penn Jillette. He had that show called Bullshit. Fuck you. Don't call your show a bullshit name. Actually, it was pretty good. They brought up some really good points. Proved a lot of stuff.
He's pretty smart.
Oh, he's really, really smart. He's probably genius.
But he knows
it.
Yeah,
he probably is.
That's the problem.
Yeah, he knows it and he's angry about it. Yeah, I guess, you know what? He's just like me.
That's probably why.
He's very
there
smart
can only be
he's
one.
Angry about everything.
Look at he's explaining the name of
Nikita.
his son.
Nikita's a pretty sweet name. Nikita's
not more
sweet.
Than
Anikis.
I don't think you have the lineage for a Nikita.
I'm gonna lobby for Nikita, but I'm not gonna let her know at all about Gino's kid's name.
No? I think the problem is like you're like, oh, this is my son Nikita. You're like, and this is his dad Evgeny. He's Russian. You're like, oh,
yeah, I guess you're maybe
like,
right.
You can pull off.
All right, it's a daughter, and her name is Moxie Crime Fighter. And he's explaining why the name is cool, and I don't like this.
Okay, well, shocking.
Because I always felt sorry for the Mikes and Bobs. There's just so many. How do you know they're talking to you?
Crime
Fighter?
That
doesn't mean you have to go to Moxie Crime Fighter.
What is his real name? Because I know it's not Penn, right?
I don't know.
And why would you pick the name Penn as your first name if you're making up a name?
I got a feeling that's his real name.
Number two pencil is too long.
You know what? What's the guy's name that's in it? He's a big comedian and he's in like Anchorman and stuff.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Jesus. He named his. No, we're talking about names that I couldn't.
He's in Anchorman? You mean like he is Anchorman?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a little sick, a little under the weather.
Ooh.
But he named his kid Maximus. That's pretty sweet.
Maximus.
Mm.
What? Don't do that face.
Maximus Ferrell is kind of
do
like.
Do you think people are actually.
Or Magnus. No, Magnus. Magnus.
It's better, but.
Magnus.
Do you think people, I'm sure it's happening, but can you justify why people would name their children after Game of Thrones characters?
Because they love it. My sister named her kid after a Brad Pitt character.
You've got to know there's a ton of
Legends of the Fall, Tristan.
There's got to be a ton of Lukes out there because of Star Wars.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, good point.
Yes.
Han.
A lot of Hans. A lot of Solos.
Are there any Hans out there?
I'm sure there's
Tauntauns.
Some
I'm sure there's some Tauntauns.
I bet there's a bunch of Hans in other
I'm
countries.
I'm sure there's a lot of Trumps coming out this year, too. Can
no,
you imagine?
No one's
going to
go with my son, Trump
yes.
Williams.
Yes, they will.
You know, that sounds like Trump Williams sounds like
actually, I do like the name Trump Williams.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you name your kid Crime Fighter? Fuck you.
Yeah. I think you might hold something against him personally because it's kind of cool.
No, it's not cool.
No, it's
all.
Not. It's an action. It's a
I know, but it's a verb. But it's nice. It's positive.
Noun.
There's a
crime is bad.
You ever heard of that book Trout Fishing in America? It was a collection of
stories
short
about
stories
for trout in America.
No, and Burroughs, I think his name was.
Animal?
William
Burroughs.
I wish I had not brought it up, but it was a collection of like poetry and Trout Fishing in America. And there was a kid that loved the book so much that he legally changed his name to Trout Fishing in America. And I'm like, I kind of
don't
like
understand
that.
The whole legally changing your name
thing. You don't? You don't?
I don't understand like how this whole thing goes down. Like
you just
to
go to the registrar's office and you change your name.
And yeah, you all just
legal.
Wait.
We're all just like legal entities and you can just rebrand.
But why can't you just do what rappers do and just take a new name?
You
and
can.
Everyone calls you that.
But then if you wanted to have it on your like passport and your driver's license, if you're really into it.
Yeah. That
do think,
seems.
Does Snoop Dogg say Snoop Dogg, do you think? Or do you think it says Calvin Brodish?
I think it says Snoop Lion.
What the hell
if you
he
waited
name?
In line
oh,
recently.
Yeah, Snoop Lion, that's right.
Richard.
It's hot in here.
Brodigans. Richard Brodigan is the guy who wrote Trout Fishing in America. I had a great English teacher in high school. Who turned me on to that book and
oh, he had a great
saga.
Teacher to turn you on?
Yeah, he turned me on. And it was like after school stuff too. He turned me on to it after school. Tyler, don't make the squeaking sound loud.
That was you creaking with your professor.
So my dad, hey, there's a lot of fruit there. You know, even though he's long gone now. Actually coming up on a year soon. But you know, I still remember things that happened that he used to do. And it's still mind-boggling. And I thought of one the other day.
I like that you said that because it would be funny if when someone dies, we just forget their whole memory.
Why would that be funny?
It'd be
it's
nicer.
Like
it'd be easier.
Very, very tragic.
It'd be easier.
For the
I know
the
I had
ones.
A dad. I know I had a sister.
Like, would you want your to just not remember anything?
No,
about
I
Nikki?
Wouldn't want it. But it would be interesting. Life would be different.
would be very different. We'd be called. We would just be savages.
But then everyone else would remember.
Would everyone else remember?
You'd be like, "Don't tell me."
That'd be very confusing.
Don't tell me how great she was. Because I don't remember.
I think that would make death so much more fear. Like I'd fear like losing Jillian even that much more if I knew that I would lose every memory I had of her.
But think
died.
How much empty space you'd have to write new things.
You know, the opposite. Yeah. The opposite would happen is you'd fear dying because you know you're going to be forgotten.
Well, that's
already what people are afraid of, though.
Yeah,
I don't like it when Jillian's done this. She accuses me of wanting to make films because I want to be remembered after I'm gone, and
so
that
what?
Has nothing to do with.
Yeah,
it.
But
did,
so
that's
what?
A nice caveat.
Did you see that thing
not
about
caveat,
the,
that's a nice sidebar,
like the future library? Did you hear about this?
No,
they
no.
like some group
it's
of
be empty,
pompous
like the
ass
library?
People open something called like the future library, and it's not going to open until like 2100 or something like that, and then like their books will be published. It's like no one alive now will get to read their books.
Awful.
Right?
Terrible. Yeah, I hope no one reads them then either.
Yeah.
I hope everyone
I hope enough people are like
forget.
Assholes yeah. burn it down
you
the
know
first
what we
day.
Don't do anymore that used to happen as aggressive. When I was a kid a lot and before I was even born it was a bigger thing and I'm sure you kind of remember I don't know if you do. I know you've
wait,
heard
as soon
of
as that thing opens and it's called the future library, it's going to be like
yeah, it's
library.
Going to
be the
now.
Old library.
Yeah, it's the old library. These books are old.
And they're all old.
Okay. The remember how popular time capsules were?
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking that when Tyler 70s. Said the future library, for sure.
Yeah.
I was a part of a couple at school. Like, that
so
was
I.
actual activity
about,
we had to do.
What about crime capsules?
And I'm like, I'm going to put this thing out.
Oh,
so
here's
excited.
The answer to the oh my God, that would be the best. Here's all
crime
the
capsules.
Here's all the evidence on the Kennedy assassination. We're going to open it in 2020.
And you know it's Geraldo Rivera who's going to be, you know, hosting that show.
The time capsule idea sounds fascinating and great, but I've seen a few opened and there's nothing good in them.
It's like a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah,
that's the 80s.
Yeah.
You know
they
what?
Still sell them.
They
guess
were,
what? Bad news.
They were really cool, I think, back in the 50s and 60s.
Here's
70s.
A record. They still make these, okay?
Before the internet.
Paperclip.
They were cool.
Still got these.
You know what I mean?
No, it depends how long it's been.
But you can look anything up now on the internet and see what was going on in that
good
time
point.
Capsule.
Good point.
Not necessarily, though, because sometimes if they're like in a small town, it'll be some sort of like little like book of like the townspeople in that time that you can't search that online. That
doesn't
exist.
I don't
want to
see a little book of the townspeople.
What if your fucking great grandfather's in there?
Okay, so it's on a personal level.
Okay.
Wait, there's like two of them that I was involved with at my school, at my elementary school.
Doesn't it feel like
ever,
we should be making
them?
A time capsule then?
I would argue that we are every week.
Yeah, hey, good point.
Well, let's just put this
take it all off of you of iTunes.
Hey, bad. We'll just tweet out right now. Bad news, guys, for people who listen to the After Disaster every week. We've time capsuled our equipment.
We're submitting to the future library.
It's buried out near Palm Springs.
How upset would those people be in 120 years when they open it up and it's just our 300 episodes of the show.
Hey, you know who wouldn't be upset is our Patreon subscribers who are still waiting.
And they have no way to play it.
They'd be very excited. We're close to that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I feel bad
I've posted the photo of the...
okay, you let people know?
Of the thumb drives. Like, they're,
do you have to copy them one by one?
People are knowing?
No, no. I'm paying the company to upload all of
Wait, does the guy
files.
That run the company, is he going to get a free one? Or is he a Patreon subscriber? Is he going to get one?
I mean, he can
What's
have,
the level? Is it
20?
Is it 20?
20 and up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a few spots open for mugs. We do owe a few mugs as well. But right now, I think there's three slots that just opened up. And the three of us need to come up with the next thing that we'll because mugs is going to be a thing of the past soon.
Yeah.
We've got to come up with something creative and good for that $50 limited level because that's what makes the show go. For sure, it's one of the major things. And I want to make sure that we deliver to everybody.
And
so.
And some of the we'll let you know how many extra... thumb drives we have left over, and so people can either
put them in a time capsule.
Yeah, we'll put them all in a time capsule, and you guys can dig them up.
And the video is going to be.
Let's throw one in a bottle. Put it in the ocean.
That's not a bad idea.
The video.
We got Anderson's voicemails that way from Alaska.
Mm-hmm. ICP Destination Disaster will be available to. How many? We'll figure out which Patreon people, or if not every Patreon people, as well as up for sale for a few shekels. Shekels, probably in a week or so, right? Right?
Less than that, I hope.
Less than that, you hope.
I'm hoping we get the footage compiled.
Did you record the philosophical discussion on the way down?
No. I think we're going to spare everyone that. But okay, so.
We should have done a 4-hour bonus.
Ever tell you about my dad always accusing me of Oedipus complex? I told you about that, right?
That's creepy. That would make me want to get my own apartment.
All the time.
I feel like I remember that, but. I was listening to some of our old episodes when I was going through setting up the thumb drives, and I don't remember anything from the show. So we definitely could have talked about it before.
I'm not going to embarrass her by naming her, but we have a kind of a new listener who's reposted a bunch of stuff, and I can tell by what she's posting she started from the beginning.
The very beginning.
I think so, and it's very upsetting.
Why would this be embarrassing that she likes the show and you're acknowledging her?
Oh, you don't... Oh. Yeah, I know her. She's hot.
But it's like I'm hearing stuff going, oh, it's giving me the chills. Like I'm reading. Like
good chills,
reposts
right?
Reposts on Twitter.
Like Aurora?
Aurora. Bori. Alice?
Yeah. Yeah. Borealis. That's not a bad name.
Not bad. Mm. Sounds a little Russian, though.
Borealis.
Yeah.
He's got to think about the kid being made fun of. I
know absolutely. That. Absolutely. Every name Warren would say, I'd be like, she's like, Mason. I was like, Gason. Like it's. Like,
but I brought up a good point.
We had a girl who worked at the Improv and... I'll just be blunt about it. She was a pain in the ass.
Mm. Was her name Borealis?
Her first name was one word, Rose of Sharon. And
what?
If you called her Rose or something, she wouldn't answer. And it was like, my name is Rose of Sharon.
Oh, fuck me. Her dad was probably Penn Gillette.
Mm. Well, you're probably right about that.
I lost my train
She did
of
no
thought.
Card tricks.
Your dad
no.
said he wanted to bang your mom.
We're going to talk about something else. So we were talking about name. Oh, just yesterday we were talking about.
That's extremely unsettling that your dad said you had that
the
complex.
Name of our kid. And I said, honey, don't worry, though. I bet you if things keep going as they're going, by the time Atticus is like in grade school, there will be like a whole campaign and awareness of name shaming. And that will be a thing of the past.
Yeah, you probably won't be able to like make fun of another person.
Or it'll be or you can pull out the old Johnny Cash card.
We might swing back. Speaking of Johnny Cash, I saw a clip of Hee Haw last night on TV.
Yeah.
He was on that show. That show was like, I had no idea. I've always heard of the show Hee Haw. I've never seen anything about it. It's like Laughing, but for hillbillies?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
But it had really good music.
And the jokes were awful, though. Yeah,
they're really
bad.
But that show was very popular.
Here was one of the jokes. It was two girls standing there by some hay, and the girl...
Wearing
one
short
girl
shorts?
Says, yeah. Yeah. And chewing on...
I love that show.
Chewing on... I was thinking of you when I saw it. I'm like, I bet Mike loved this show. It's so bad. And the one girl goes, I'm trying to figure out who I should make lucky, Billy or Greg. They both want to marry me. And then her friend goes, well, why don't you marry Billy so Greg can be the lucky one? Like, that was the joke. That was the joke.
That's pretty good. That's a good joke. She slammed her.
So my dad started when I was about... My dad, I remember him telling me
slam,
when I was...
Slam.
I've been thinking a lot about my dad, my relationship with my dad, obviously, because now I know I have a son that's going to be here very soon, right? And I can't wait to like have a relationship with a son. I don't... understand, like, I'm sure that it'll change when I see the baby come out, but like little slobbering babies, no offense to Zach, but I mean, like, it's
hard. No offense, you're a slobbery baby.
Yeah, what do? You sit there, you cry, you sleep, you poop, you cry, you sleep, you pee.
Yeah, not impressed.
Grow up and want to bang your mom.
Oh, when you get a little older.
It'll be funny as if you were so mentally ill that you are banging your mom and you're like, take that, dad.
God, that'd be so weird if I was that mentally ill.
Yeah.
So I remember like being in grade school, like 5, 6, 7 years old, and my dad he was always pretty nice, even though he had a horrible temper. But I remember him telling me that he was dreading the day I became a teenager because he hates teenagers.
And it's an just like, no, like there's a ticking time bomb to your dad not liking you.
It's an inevitable thing, Dad. I'm going to become a teenager. But like it wasn't like
12 months.
It wasn't like, I hope that you're a good teenager. I'm going to do everything I can to be a good father.
I just don't like all of them.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like, he was sitting there waiting for me to turn.
So, of course,
13.
You're going to be a bad teenager.
Oh, I was the worst, right?
Because you're like, he's not going to like me no matter what I do.
You should be proud of yourself that you even function, because some of the stories from your dad are
kind
of incredible.
We'd see teenagers like in public, and my dad would say, God damn teenagers. He would actually get, I remember
he was a teenager once.
He must have been a little shit. We were walking to a McDonald's, my dad and I was probably 11, and we saw like a 12-13 year old kid who was like the older, he was one grade above me in school, and he was a total bully. He had like that long shaggy hair, he always wore old denim.
I like this guy,
and the guy scared the fuck out of me. He beat everybody up.
His name was Ray.
I didn't even know if he knew me, but obviously he did, because he recognized me. As my dad and I were walking towards McDonald's, this guy was walking the opposite way, and the guy flipped me off as we walked by, and my dad saw it, and my dad didn't know that he was flipping me off. He thought he was flipping him off. Fucking freaked out. Went and grabbed the kid, was spitting in his face, yelling at him. Go ahead, take a swing, punk. And I just spit too, ironically. But he spit, and that was my dad's move. He'd spit in your face, hoping that he would swing first, and then he could claim self-defense.
Wait, like he'd like go, or he'd be like spitting while yelling.
No, he'd actually, and then spit in the guy's face.
What?
Oh my God. I saw him do that to my neighbors. That was his move. So
I mean, rest in peace, but
that was an awful. My dad's great. That was his move. I saw him do it to our neighbor. Like he was like in his face, and he would always spit in their face, hoping that they would swing, and then he could be like self defense. But all right, so when I was probably soon like into my teenagers,
I can't even like.
Did you consider spitting on Angry Little Man?
No. I never wanted him to swing at me. I just wanted Angry Little Man to give me my phone back. I did spit in my friend's face once, and we promised to never, ever mention it again. And I wonder if I got that from my dad. I was so angry at my fat friend that I spit in his face. And it's still one of the worst things I've ever done. All right, let's move past that. So I was probably around 11 or 12 when my dad started telling me about Oedipus. And like we get in an argument, and a lot of time I'd be defending my mom having a fight and taking my mom's side. All the kids always took my mom's side.
You just want to fuck her.
Because my dad was so fucking, you know, he was such an antagonist, and he was always the confronter and the one that started all the fights with my mom. My mom would just be quiet. My dad would just be screaming and yelling.
Tight.
So he'd start to
like
educate
me.
You ever heard of Oedipus? Oh, you got the Oedipus complex. Ah, you got the Oedipus. And then he went through like a 2-3 year period where every time we get in an argument, he'd go, oh, I know. You think you're the alpha. Alpha. And he'd be serious, calling me alpha, like, and suggesting that I'm a silverback, trying to take over his position.
No, maybe it's just you're an asshole.
Such a threatened man. But here's the best.
Did you make that assumption? Did you put it into gorilla terms, or did you...
The silverbacks and alpha, and it all kind of goes. He was so primitive in the way that he thought, even though he was a PhD trained psychologist, he would boil things down to very primitive tribal, language, and just flat out say, I know that you want to be the alpha of this family. You want me dead. You want to take over, and you want to go, you know, take my place in my bed and sleep with your mom. Yeah. He would accuse me of this all the time.
This is one of the ugliest conversations I've ever had on this show.
I was asking if I can have arcade money.
It's going to get really funny though. Here's where it gets funny.
I just want to go see Star Wars.
So now I'm probably like 17, 18, maybe even like
finger mom.
20. What?
Use the force.
So this is probably it's probably early 20s. And my mom is finally getting to a place where she's getting the strength, and she might be leaving my dad. And all the kids are for it. We all want her to leave my dad. We all want her to be able to go out. We were all pussies, and we should have all just stood up to him and said, fuck you, I'm not going to listen to you, what you have to say and your rules, and we're just going to do our own thing. He was home a lot, though. Like he worked Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. He was always home on Wednesdays. Fuck, we hated Wednesdays. And if you had done something
wrong, am I right?
If you're on his bad side, usually I was in his crosshairs, like your life is just miserable when he's home. And I should have just taken off. My mom should have absolutely said, fuck you, Don. I'm going to do what I want. But
fuck my son.
He wouldn't let her go out with friends. Like he was always like, I know you're going to see some doctors. I know you have doctors. She was a nurse, right? And he was always talking about MDs.
Like affair-wise or going to see
them? Affair-wise. He was always accusing her of having affairs. And every time she'd want to go out and see her friends. But my mom, she should have just said, fuck you, I'm going. What are you going to do about it? But
I'm going to run a train on some doctors.
She... finally was at a place where it looked like she was going to be maybe leaving my dad and getting in her own apartment and going out on her own. And we were all for it, especially me. I was very vocal. And I remember having many lunches and dinners with my mom saying, "Mom, that would be great for you. I'm all for you. It's going to be some candlelight roses." And I would
shut up.
I'm here to support you, and I'll do whatever you know you need, and it'd be great. I think that it's horrible growing up wanting your parents to get a divorce. And I remember being jealous of my friends that had divorced parents, and I know that that's awful too. But we really wanted it. And anyways, she talks a lot. My mom talks a lot of shit, and she opens her mouth like a lot of moms do. And at some point, she got in an argument. I wasn't around. She got in a huge argument with my dad, and she was saying pretty much, "I'm going to leave you." And she used me as a tool. She's Andy even said that I should divorce you. So then for about 2, 3, maybe 5 years, it would pop up every now and again. My dad would get together. My dad and I would get together, and we'd go to a game, or we'd go out to dinner or something, and everything would be fine. And then all just having a normal conversation, talking about the Penguins or God knows what. And then all of a sudden this look would come on his face, because it would occur to him, and he would just look at me and go, "Why did you ask your mother to divorce me, son? Why would you do that?" And it would always be like when we're in one car far away from the house. So I was just trapped. I don't understand. Why would you do that? And I would become enraged, and then we would get in a giant fight, and a lot of the time I'd end up like taking a cab home or something.
Spit in his face.
That whole like, "Why would you ask your mother to divorce me?" And really calmly. He always did it very calmly.
Try not to do this to your son.
I can't imagine raising my son anything like I was raised. It's just, I don't understand how like a cycle could be, because he had a horrible relationship with his dad. Like he talked about
it. I don't think the cycle is conscious. I think you just start falling into the old ruts of how to handle things.
If I
was reading a thing about that recently, about like people who are like, "I'm not going to be like my parents," but like the default, if you don't actively manage it, you end up like your parents. It's okay if your parents were fine, then it's like
brother and his wife actually had to like sit down and go over,
you have to make a conscious decision.
These are the guidelines, and they make sure they stick to it by and large.
I already think
so. Tell Jillian to stop wearing the skimpy things around Atticus.
I'm very jealous of his position and threatened by, because he's right by the wife's privates right now.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know.
I thought we were still talking about your dad. I was like, what? He's getting you back. What?
There's a chance you could be jealous, because
I'm not jealous of my unborn son.
No, but there's a chance.
Sound a little jealous. Okay,
because both you guys.
Why did you ask your mother to
divorce? Because there's a new person in their life that they love more than you.
Oh, yeah. I hear that all the time, and I think you got to be kind of happy.
Like, you were number one, but now you just got bumped down.
I'm prepared for that. And plus, you know what? I feel like I'm number two with Jillian's dog anyways, Pepe. I feel like she loves him more than
really
me.
Do we really deserve to be number one anyways? I don't know. It's more comfortable to be number two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? Less pressure.
Like, coast on through.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like the guy who's at work who's not like the top guy. So you're just kind of like,
you're still making money, but you're not the top guy.
Yeah. It heats off you.
Yeah. You're not the face of the company.
It was way better.
Let me just say that.
You got to get a kid, Mike.
My dad loved me.
I am going to get a kid.
Some personality.
You mean my daughter, Clarice, the mother of dragons?
My dad meant well. What? That should be your kid?
Why not?
Khaleesi's your kid?
Why not?
You caught up?
Yes, I am.
Mm hmm. Enjoying
it? Yes, I am. I got to tell you, I realized that I cannot watch that show before I go to bed, because I am fucking amped and tense as fuck. And this last episode killed me tension-wise.
It doesn't do that to me at all.
Do you sing the song every week? I sing the song.
The fat guy bringing his wildling girlfriend home with
that was a great... Dude, that guy is awesome, that new character.
But I was just like... It was so tense in the interaction with his dad, and it was just like... I'm like... Any minute now, something terrible is going to happen.
Isn't it kind of like a racist thing that
they're
kind
sort of
going
for? Yeah. So far, some of the wildlings are pretty hot.
It's true.
She looked great.
She looked great.
Sam's girlfriend, who always looked heinous.
I don't know. She looked.
They made her look so good.
They made her look super cute.
Yeah. She looked
She's
better.
She's got that cute little smirk.
She's very mousy.
I could totally go after her after a few drinks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. And before that, there's no amount of alcohol.
Could even be Gatorade. Sam's mom looked kind of cute.
Gatorade. Yeah. Sam's mom. What? Yeah. Easy, grandma banger. Gilf lover.
It's not a grandma banger. It's not really his kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Can I say that my favorite part about last week's show happened after the show, so it's not a part of the show at all, but it was the hardest I had laughed. I've laughed harder since, and that was in the middle of a pop star. But last week, after we finished the program at your house, Ty, we went upstairs. You were printing out our ICP tickets, and your dog literally shit the bed.
Oh, yeah.
And it was one of the funniest things.
It was terrible.
So Tyler's getting frustrated with the computer because it's not acting appropriately, and he's trying to pull up our tickets so that he can print them for us before we head down to San Diego for our six-hour journey to get there. And I'm sitting on the little couch, and we're in the spare bedroom, and Farley, his dog, is up on a really nice, like, made-up bed. A guest bed, queen-size bed. It was all made and tidy and nice.
Sure was.
And then Mike is standing there kind of doing his thing where he's talking about God knows what and pacing back and forth. Tyler's yelling at his computer. I'm just sitting there listening. And then Mike looks at the bed, and he turns to Tyler, and he goes, I don't know how to tell you this, but your dog's shitting on the bed. And we all look, and the dog is crouching, and it's pooping like, little pellets.
Like butthole facing us, shit dropping out of her ass onto like the pillow.
Tyler goes, are you serious right now? What are you doing? And then Mike goes, I'm sorry, I have to leave the room, because he was so disturbed by it. And I was
so shaken up by it.
I was laughing like, so hard. I was like a
I'm
black
looking
person.
At the dog crouch, like squatting down, and I'm like, what's he doing?
I lost control of my body. Like I was like falling over. You know how like black people laugh really hard and they like fall over? Like I'm jealous of that laughter.
Oh my God. Did you listen to Bill Burr recently?
No. Yes, like, I'm all caught up.
2 weeks ago when he didn't have a hotel room, so he had to like spend the morning with like the chauffeur.
He was sleeping.
And the guy in the lobby. He was like, yeah, my chauffeur for the day was this like, you know, a big funny black guy, except wasn't funny, except thought he was super funny and like was just making terrible jokes all day. And at one point they were at a Waffle House and someone said something and got up and laughed and like we did like a lap, went outside, did like a lap
like
around the Waffle House.
No, but that was just a guy that was in the Waffle House. It wasn't a chauffeur.
No, that was the guy he was with.
No, it was the guy that the unfunny black dude was in the Waffle House just hanging out.
Why didn't he have a hotel room?
No, that was his taxi driver or something. I promise.
But you know that sketch that they do as bellhops? Key and Peele, where like they're talking about Liam Neeson's, how much they love him.
Yeah.
So good. He didn't because there was a scheduling conflict and they fucked up. So he fell asleep for like 4 hours in the lobby with his feet up on the couch.
God, that would kill me.
Yeah, you know what? He has the exact same thing I have. And I don't know. I think you might have it too, Tyler. I don't know about you, but I'm really cool with the big stuff. Like if something like that happened, like he was upset, but he didn't lose his shit. He didn't have a hotel, and he was 5 in the morning, and they were like, sorry, we don't have a room for you. And he's like, he just dealt with it. What are you going to do?
It's like the small thing, the small
But then, like, he gets in traffic, and a woman, like, you know, puts on her blinker and then turns the other way, and he fucking loses it. I lose my shit over small stuff. The big stuff, I'm usually calm and collected.
Hmm.
You like that?
I think so, to an extent, but the big stuff fucks me up, too. I've gone to hotels where I had a reservation, and they didn't have my room, and there was no room, and I just felt like, oh, I'm going to lay on the ground and curl up and cry until you get me a room.
That's awkward. Did you do that?
There was a
why didn't we hit record?
A computer glitch at the Hilton once in Vegas, and I waited in line about 2 hours, and I finally had a breakdown, and I'm like, what's going on? And
speaking
they're like, I'm sorry, sir. And then I just called a friend, and I went and slept on his floor.
I was doing that thing where I bitched a lot when we went to Vancouver about you know the price of cabs. And they don't have Uber in Vancouver, so that was upsetting me. And it kind of came to – we didn't get an argument about it, but Jillian did point out just how ridiculously negative I can be for long stretches. But the final straw was when I was bitching about the bellhops. And I hate bellhops, and here's what a bellhop does. Okay, we struggled with our luggage. We had quite a bit of it because we were going on like on a 9-day. We're going to be out of town for 9 days. So we each had like 2 bags, and she had a purse, and I had a backpack. So 3 bags apiece. We're struggling through the airport, struggling through the lines to get in the cab, put the stuff in the cab. We take it out. We're like walking, trying to find our hotel. We have to walk across the street, all you know, luggage. And then we get to the bellhop, and that's where they take our luggage, and they take it maybe the last 10 yards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, then
we
got to
pay them.
Yeah.
I hate them.
You got to use them. You got
to
use
them. No need. Like if they met me at the airport and they said, don't have to worry about the luggage. It'll be in your room, sir.
Yeah.
Then it's worth it.
I used to be against, I'd be like, no, I'll do it myself. Take it myself. Until I realized, or for like $3 to $5, I can feel like a tight guy. So now when the bellhop comes out, can I help with that? Absolutely. Yeah. He takes all your shit.
And then you hop on the
cart. Takes it in, puts it up in your room while you check in.
It doesn't just end there because then you feel like, did I give him enough? Am I supposed to give him like $3 per bag?
No.
Yeah. Does he feel slighted?
My friend, you know how if you're successful, you don't carry anything. You understand that?
Yes.
I mean, we understand the concept of that, right? Like when you're super successful, you walk through the airport empty-handed 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine opened for Tom Jones for a long time, and he said Tom Jones had a guy that he hired that was with him all the time who would carry all of his stuff. And he said it was an old guy and he was always struggling, but he wanted the job and he had done it for years and years and years. And he said the guy is like, they're walking through an airport and the guy is like dragging three big bags. And then my friend Jimmy's carrying his bags and Tom's just walking, arms swinging.
I'd feel uncomfortable.
And then Jimmy tries to be funny and he goes, "Hey, Tom, what are you carrying?" And Tom turns around and goes, "You two guys."
Tom can do no wrong.
That would have been on Hee Haw.
Tom can do no wrong. And that's way too highbrow for Hee Haw. People be like, "Huh?
What's that?"
He's not carrying them, though. They're walking behind him. What? Huh?
Oh.
I don't get it.
But I liked Hee Haw when I was a kid, and I didn't really necessarily get the jokes. But Roy Clark is one of the premier guitar players of all time. He's fantastic. And plus, they had everyone on that show, every cool... like country legend was on that show. Mm-hmm.
I was shocked when I saw Johnny Cash pop up and like the fucking corn stalks on set with a horrible joke. Yep. Cox,
it was a comedy show. It was a comedy show. Someone should revitalize Hee Haw.
I couldn't stop watching it because it was on for like probably, it was right after the game ended last night, which was pretty.
Oh my god! Tight. What happened?
They won.
We won.
Oh my god!
But it's not over.
Holy
yet.
Shit!
They're up 2-0.
I think we need
best
to
of seven.
We need to live broadcast a game.
I
know it's mildly illegal, but
too distracting.
So where are we at right now? Like how many more games?
We can maybe do some video. I would like it if you guys maybe came over.
Where are we at on the game?
We're at two games in of the best of seven series.
Okay,
and they've won the first.
Is there a game tomorrow night?
Next game is Saturday at 5 o'clock Western.
Okay.
And out of the 49 teams that have gone up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup final, 44 of them have gone on to win. However, there are five that have not.
In the last 10 years?
And the Penguins in 2009, last time they won the Cup, stop it, they were up 2-0. I mean, they were down 2-0 and they came back and won. So it's not done by any means.
So,
but I can tell you the
Saturday
Penguins
night,
look like the superior
Saturday
team.
Night. Penguins win, let's say. When's the next game?
Tuesday. I don't know. I can look it up right. But you guys want to come, maybe get together, maybe do a little... it'd be really fun.
You probably can't go, but let's just drive to Vegas and watch it in a casino.
Can't. Jillian's actually upset about the idea of me going to Vegas at all if we win to collect the money. She thinks it's the dumbest idea. She might be on to something.
Why doesn't he just send us a cash?
Okay,
check.
She thought the ICP show was a great idea, but
I'm terrible in
Vegas.
She's been there with me when I lost.
I've been there with you.
Yeah, it's awful. I'm not good in Vegas. I got an addictive personality and
I'm
a little bit reckless.
You can't hold it. You're going to give it away to people.
No, yeah. I'll keep you on the straight and narrow.
Monday.
I'm talking about we drive out to Vegas.
Monday the 6th.
Okay, we drive to Vegas.
I'm not driving to Vegas.
We sit in a sports book. We watch the game. The game will be over like at 9, 10.
Yeah, and then we drive back. This sounds horrible. No, Mike. Oh, why?
Sounds
no,
great.
Why?
This sounds great.
No, and then I'm all
I'm
depressed
going by myself.
If they lose.
I'm going by myself.
Last time I went.
I'll just go to an Indian casino.
Because I want to be in Vegas. I want to be in a sports book.
You can go.
Yeah,
I
am going to go.
It's on TV.
I am
going to
go.
Why?
I'm going to watch it from a sports book.
Why? They're in Vegas.
Because if they win, then I'll just be there to collect the money.
No, they still have to win two more.
No,
they have to win
Saturday. Then if they win, they won two. They win
but what
Saturday.
If they lose on Monday?
They're not going to sweep. They're not going to sweep the Mighty
Sharks.
Yeah, if they
don't sweep, then you've got to drive home and then drive back again.
I don't care. I'll do it.
The only one that would make sense is if you went on a game seven, and that'd be far too stressful.
Oh my god,
it all makes sense to me.
I've been there in Vegas where I watched the Penguins lose to the Rangers a few years ago in the playoffs.
Hate it. Oh man.
But I want to talk about the Wright brothers,
the Ford Rangers.
I can't.
God,
they've never been talked about before.
No, but you and I were going to talk about fuck.
The Wright brothers.
We talked about it in the car a little bit.
They never talk about the Wrong brothers.
Stop it. All right, fine. We'll talk about the Wright brothers next week.
Stay
tuned. Stay tuned. Wait.
Guess what? Next week, it'll be making waves over the internet.
If you have
the
friends.
The excitement has built. We're
if you
talk
have friends that
Wright
have never
brothers.
Listened to the show, they've been trying to get listened.
Yeah.
Tell them to come on over next week. Buckle up.
And then the week after that, get ready. Paddle boats.
Oh, we still got to do that. Pondcast.
Yeah,
the pond.
That's like our great white whale.
Five
that
years
we're,
in the making
that we've been chasing.
Destination disaster. We got one that's in the can, just putting it together now. We should always have one on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and I have decided that we've tortured ourselves enough, and it's time that we do one that's actually kind of enjoyable.
Good one. Yeah,
Madonna Inn. So we got to figure that out with the wives.
Okay,
maybe bring them.
Yep.
And maybe I really want to show the listeners this place with a proper video.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
From our point of view. And skateboarding on that sweet, sweet bike path.
Yes.
And hiking up to the mountain, but
so
not a mountain.
You guys discuss it with your
after
wives.
After baby.
And
before
discuss
baby,
it.
Before
discuss
baby.
It soon so we can plan this
sometime
soon.
This summer.
Yeah, I've got some weeks off coming
up. You've
got
some dates.
Okay, and we'll do the,
like
you want to just
week.
Get the suite?
Yeah, we can get a middle of the week, have much better rates.
Yeah.
And it'd be great.
You want
it'd be great
to
get a suite. They have a few suites. We'll talk about this off air.
They have a three-bedroom.
They do. I think that might be.
We'll talk about this
other.
Well,
maybe we'll get adjoining rooms or something.
It's like $450.
And it's expensive. That's very expensive. All right, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Is that it? But we're not even in an hour.
You're having a son. You used to want to fuck your mom.
No, I never wanted to.
We got big
the Wright brothers next week.
Wright brothers news stopping up next week.
I can't wait to talk about the Wright brothers. I can't believe you're forgetting it right now. We were talking about it on the way back from ICP, and I said, here's something I want to talk about in the program. And I said it a little bit in the beginning, and you know what, Mike? We're going to do a tight hour. Stop it. Mike said, oh, my God, that's great. That's great. And we started talking about it. I'm like,
he
no,
says
but
that
I don't.
To like, you no, all, show
usually it's good stuff.
Pickles. And he'd be like, oh, my gosh, I love those pickles. They're like not the big ones, but they're not the small ones. They're like the perfect middle-sized pickles.
Speaking of which, I got a deli right by my house that Jillian and I go to all the time. It's fantastic. You got to come with me soon. All right. Is there going to be any music they're going to put in this thing?
No. No, let's just do this one raw.
Really?
Ooh, raw dog.
Yeah, raw dog.
Stop it with the raw dog.
What is raw dog?
That's what
it's when you spit fucking, on your hand and just...
No, it's fucking without a condom. It's what Eminem said when he was on Loveline years and years ago. He's like, I don't like to use condoms, yo. I like to go raw dog. I'm like, this guy's a fucking popular music artist? What?
And then there was a DJ named Raw Dog that was making fun of Dr. Drew, remember?
He was the backup third mic on a show. Right, Jason Ellis' show. Bye.